kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Blessing and privilege to have fellowship with God's people, the remnant, standing by faith in these last days. Praise his name. Wonderful Lord. Well, I have a title today we're going to look at. We're going to have a teaching on faith, and we're calling this teaching, If We Walk in the Realm of Faith, It Will Be Tested. If we walk in the realm of faith, it will be tested. Something I think we tend to forget, that our faith, which is a gift from God, is supernatural. It is not a faith that can be mixed with the world. You see, the world has a type of faith. It believes in the future. People have aspirations, they have hopes, they plan for the future. And that is a type of worldly faith. You see, everything that God does, Satan always counterfeits. Remember that. So there is a type of faith, but it is not the faith of the gospel. The faith of the gospel, the faith that Jesus has given to us, which is a gift, is above the world's faith, which is sensual, it's worldly, it's earthly, and the faith of the world is always based on self, what self wants. But this faith, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is a completely different picture. And that is why I'm calling this teaching today, If We Walk in the Realm of Faith, It Will Be Tested. This realm of faith is supernatural. It is a higher knowledge. It is a wisdom and understanding that is not of this world. That is why your eyes are blessed when God opens your eyes and he reveals to you the things that the world cannot reveal. That is why we have a deeper insight, a deeper understanding. We have a knowledge now of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit has come to take over in our lives, to take over in every area. And that is why he works that deliverance, that change within us, so that we can walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And of course, we know that we're all a work in progress with what God is doing. But you see, the nature of faith requires nurturing. And a lot of Christians do not really grasp this one. Our faith, which is a gift, because Jesus said, I am the author and finisher of your faith. It has to be nurtured. It has to be looked after. It has to be fed. It has to be protected. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come baptizing us, empowering us, so that Christ is not only the author, but he will finish our faith. He will perfect it, in other words. And it has to be fed. That's why we make so much about Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing the word of God. As we hear, as we read, because it is feeding, it is nurturing your faith that causes you to walk, to overcome, to believe when all things are against us, to not listen to the enemy, to not take any notice the giants of the land. That is why our faith has to be nurtured. It has to be fed. It has to be perfected through the discipline and trials and testings that we go through. It is all part of what faith needs. We sometimes don't understand our faith that is given to us as a gift of God, what actually it requires, what it needs. It needs those trials. It needs those tests. It actually needs those delays in faith. When we're believing or we're hoping that our faith will be answered today, when in actual fact it will be answered and manifested in 6 weeks' time or whatever. Faith needs those testings. And we try to understand this. We try to calculate this. We try to bring this down into our human understanding, and we never will. There are things about faith that we will not always fully understand, even in this life. And that is why we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, why am I stressing this? Why have I opened up in such a manner like this? Because faith is the fruit of the Spirit, those nine fruits. And like all of these fruits, they need to mature. Because Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. And fruit in our lives, that patience, that long-suffering, peace and so on, all has to be developed, matured. It doesn't come ready-made. When even your faith to believe, when you confess upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you become born again, a new creation, your faith doesn't come ready-made immediately. It is a lifelong walk with God. And God is working with our faith, because faith will mature the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Faith is how we receive from God. When we pray the prayer of faith, when we believe in faith, faith is the requirement, because we're told, aren't we, in Hebrews 11:6, that without faith it is impossible to please God. So that is the basis on receiving. And of course, God is teaching us what to pray for, to believe for, as we read the Word of God, as we're taught the Word of God, and as we embrace the promises of God's Word. So that encourages us to exercise our faith in asking, believing. But faith has got to have its testings and its trials. And that's why we follow the Lord, and we also take up our cross. We bear our cross each day, because the cross brings about that maturity within our lives. Let's turn to a familiar verse and chapter that we know so well in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, which says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Why patience? Because patience is part of the fruit of the Spirit. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So God is perfecting the overcomers, the remnant. He's bringing us to that perfection, that completion, in other words. We have to be completed in God's sight. It's not about being born again. Sin is dealt with. Sin is cast away as far as the east is to the west. That's not the question that we're raising. We're raising the fact that we mature, we grow up, we become sons of God. No longer children. Maturity. That's what it means, so that we lack nothing. In other words, we have experienced through our faith the provision of God in body, soul, and spirit to the whole man. That is what it means, that I lack in nothing. I do not lack in understanding. I do not lack in revelation and illumination in the Word of God. I do not lack in His provisions. I do not lack in my mental health, my physical health. It just goes on. That is what He means there. This is what He's doing with us. This is why the deeper life is such a blessed message for the church in these last days. And that is why He's teaching us to walk in the realm of faith. And if we walk in the realm of faith, it will be tested. Let's make no bones about it. It will be for that very purpose. Our faith is tried. It is tested for what? So that it can be seen to be genuine. There are many who talk about faith. There are a lot of talkers in the house of God, sadly. But faith, genuine faith, has to be tried. And the way it is tried is through the trials and tests. The trials tell us and tell God where we are in the faith. The trials of Job, what he went through, not only told God that he was faithful, but it told the powers of darkness and the very devil himself. And that is what God does through you and through me and through FGA and all those who love the Lord. Our faith is tested and tried because God is revealing you to the powers of darkness, to the very devil himself who wants to try and destroy you. But God has told the enemy, you will not destroy my people, those who are in Christ, those who've been chosen from the foundation of the world. And we all know, don't we, how the enemy has tried to destroy us in whatever way, but that is God's protection over your life. For the very purpose that you lack nothing, that you are coming into maturity, into sonship, and this is telling the powers of darkness that we do not retract, that we do not go back. We hold on to our confession. We hold on. We walk by faith and not by sight. And there are, of course, are times when we feel we've got no more strength. We feel we're going under. I can't take any more. But there the Lord is faithful, because He chose you from the foundation of the world. That's why. In other words, you stand by His power and might to overcome. You cannot stand in your own strength against this. You will be consumed. But in Christ Jesus and through the blood of Christ that shed on your behalf, the powers of darkness cannot destroy you. Oh, they may try and scare you. They may make a lot of noise, which they do, but they cannot destroy you. And that is why God will allow our faith to be tried and tested, for the very purpose to encourage you, to build you up in your most holy faith. Did you know your trials actually work something very positive in your life? It starts to bring the Word of God from your head to your heart. It drops it that 18 inches when you come out of your trials. Not only have you seen how God has been faithful, how he helped you, how he preserved you, but it's such a big boost, such an encouragement to you that enables you to go on, that gives you that boldness to stand, so that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the salvation unto man, as the word of God says. So that, as James says here, that through your patience, waiting, you may come to completion, perfection, in other words, lacking nothing. And then he goes on in his mercy. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So God is going to give this to us as well. We can't go wrong. But let a saint ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. And let no man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, because he's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. There's so much double-mindedness, sadly, amongst Christendom. But God won't have that of us. And the way he delivers us from being double-minded is our faith is tested. That's what delivers us. That's what stops you from being double-minded. In other words, one minute you're in faith, the next you're not. One minute you're listening to God, the next minute you're listening to the devil. That is what he's delivering you from. Praise his name. He doesn't give up on us. Hallelujah. And so our faith, if it's genuine, it's going to be tried and tested. Did you know something? That God has been preparing your life for this walk. Not only when you were born, conceived, but even before the creation of the world, your life was being purposed, planned for this very walk that you find yourself in. Let's turn to some scriptures, shall we? Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. You can put your name there as well, because that is the promise of God. That is what he was said to Jeremiah, and that is what he says to you and to me. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. In other words, you were separated to God for the very purpose. Your life, your walk, your faith is not a mistake. The trials you go through are not a mistake. God is in control. No matter what it looks like, no matter what we feel. What does it say? Isaiah 44. Isaiah chapter 44. And verse 24, Isaiah 44 and verse 24. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, he who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself. In other words, he doesn't need any help. He has done it. He has formed you, even in the womb. And he needs no help. He doesn't need man's intervention. He has your life completely, utterly under control. And the remarkable thing about it is, as the psalmist says in Psalm 51 and verse 5, he's even in control to the very fact that we were even conceived in sin. Psalm 51 and verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. There you are. Does that change anything? No, because you were sanctified before the foundation of the world. You were always in Christ. The blood of the Lamb shed from the foundation of the world, the Lamb's sacrifice, even before Christ came, was covering your sin. Even before you were conceived. Why is it we doubt God? He never makes a mistake. What does Psalm 139 say? Psalm 139 and verse 16. Sorry, 13 to 16. Psalm 139 verses 13 to 16. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. And so it goes on. Look what the psalmist is saying there. Utter, complete confidence in the sovereignty of God. What God decrees comes to pass. Never forget that, brothers and sisters. We're talking today about the realm of faith that we walk in, which is going to be tested at times. That is why all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose, as it says in Romans 8:28. It's all planned, in other words. Your life is not a mistake. Our walk as overcomers, what we're hearing, what God is doing, this very meeting, our being together now, is all of God's plan. Nothing is by mistake. It is planned by Almighty God. And yet we still have that free will. And God knows what we're going to do, what will we're going to take, what decision we're going to take. And yet he's still in control. And never forces us, but woos us by his love, by his mercy, and by his grace. Why? Because he doesn't want robots. He wants us to love him with all our heart, soul, mind and being. Because that is what love is. Love is not controlling. It's not manipulative. It's not deceiving. Which the world's love sadly is. That isn't God's love. But you know, all of this is for his purpose and his glory. I'm reminded in Genesis 50, talking about this. I know we know it well, but it's good to refresh ourselves over these wonderful stories in Genesis 50, verses 15 to 20, where Joseph, you remember, he revealed the vision to his brothers, all the ears of the corn bowing down to him, and it got him in a lot of trouble, and his brothers were jealous over him, and they sold him into slavery, and then he went into imprisonment for all those years, and then God brought him out because he saw the vision of what God was going to do in the last days. And look how God restores this family. And take heart in this if you have family crisis or praying for your loved ones or whatever it is. Listen to what God says here and take it up from verse 15. And when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him." But remember that they come down into Egypt. It's 7 lean years now of famine. And now Joseph has died and they're frightened now. And listen to what goes on. So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, "Before your father died, he commanded saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face." There's the vision being fulfilled. "And they said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones.' And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." That is agape love. That is love forgiving. No strings, no attachments. And God meant it for good. There you are. You see, the realm of faith has to be tested for this very purpose, to see the great and mighty hand of God working. And his hand and the nature of God's hand is always redemptive in nature. To forgive, to heal, to deliver, to restore. That is why we preach the good message of the gospel, because that is the nature of this book. Yes, sadly, God has many enemies, but those enemies all have a chance to repent, to turn away. And that is the whole point. And that's why, you see, God is training us for the future. We are not to complain. We're not to run away. We're not to get discouraged. I know we do at times, because it's one of Satan's weapons against the overcomers, is discouragement. I preached down on that in the past on quite a few occasions. He knows that we have been chosen before the foundation of the world, but he's going to have a good old go at trying to discourage you. And at times it seems as though he succeeds. But praise God, God meant it for good, because he turns it around and he even uses the enemy's attacks to work it together for good. That's why I said it's Romans 8:28. Nothing is by mistake in our lives, because we walk in the realm of faith and not of sight, brothers and sisters. But I know the enemy's been trying to discourage, and particularly with lockdown and all that's going on, and how we're seeing the world now rapidly changing. And it is every day we're hearing things now happening and so on. And we just have to be men and women who walk by faith, who are seeking another world, another kingdom, the kingdom of God, who are destined for eternity. We're just passing through this world. And we're not to let it bring us down. Even though we hear the news, we read the articles, we see what's going on, the great falling away now, the mental oppression that's just coming out of this lockdown that's happened. We haven't seen half and a quarter yet what's going to come out of this, as well as the economies, the damage that it's done. But we know that this is all part of the new world order. But it shouldn't take us by surprise. We've just heard, haven't we, recently now that Canada, Justin Trudeau, has allowed a bill. And the bill has been passed for doctors to be able to inject the mentally ill, to kill them, in other words. It just gets worse, doesn't it? You see, the mentally ill, you see, it's a big, big problem in the world. We all hear about it now. Even the royalty are trying to promote mental awareness and so on. But brothers and sisters, what we don't realise is that they're now wanting to pass a law where those who are mentally ill can be assisted and a doctor can inject them to end their life. And they have passed that bill in Canada. It's a further decline in euthanasia, and that is even bad enough. But with the euthanasia, at least they can take whatever is provided. But now we're seeing that they can be assisted. These are executioners that do this. What does Genesis say about all of this? Genesis 9 and verse 6. Genesis 9 and verse 6. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. And so it goes on. Blood cries from the earth. And this is going to move to other countries like it always does. And they've called this bill C7. But what it does, it just opens the door. But you know, brothers and sisters, what is really behind this? I spoke to you about 2 or 3 years ago that you will start to see and hear the word eugenics coming up. And this is just eugenics. The population has to be decreased. The elite are aware of this. And so these are the subtle ways of starting to depopulate the world. And it's all disguised in all this way. This is exactly what the enemy, the powers of darkness, do. Is there anything new to this? Not at all. Nothing new under the sun. The Nazis were into all of this as well. And people are duped by media today. That sadly is now propaganda. You cannot rely on it. You can't rely a lot of the internet now, certainly Google. But praise God, we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come back to you. Note, he said, I am the Spirit of truth, because when you know the truth, then the truth sets you free. And these are tragic things that are happening. They make you weep, cry. It upset me when I saw that, I read that. Because this, they know that mental issues is global. It's a huge problem, getting worse and worse. And this is the way in which to attack the powers of darkness. Because they know that in mental problems, mental situations, they know that suicide is always top of the list in these problems. They want to end their lives. Again, prayer. Why we are still here, why the church is still here, we can intercede, we can supplicate for the mercy of God in these things. It seems there's so much to pray about. It just seems that you get over one thing to pray on, you find there's another thing to pray on. But praise God, that's what Jesus said. My house is a house of prayer. What a privilege it is, brothers and sisters, that we can stand in the gap, that we can supplicate as God's high priest to Jesus, who sits at the right hand of the Father as the high priest, who hears our prayers and supplications. We have the power given to us to be able to push these forces back. But woe to the world when the bride is taken away, when the overcomers, the first fruits, are raptured. Woe then to the world who are left. It is the mercy of God then. But looking back at this, our faith will be tested, because we walk in the realm of faith. We don't walk like the world. That is why I say so often, our walk as Christians is supernatural. Miraculous things happen to us and are happening to us. The very fact that God has given us ears to be able to hear this preaching and teaching today is a miracle in itself, because most of the world are not interested. They're all doing their own thing. But look how God opens our ears and eyes and hearts. These are all signs that you are His, that you are His remnant, that He has chosen you from the foundation of the world. Oh, let us wake up to this, brothers and sisters. He's made no mistake over your life, my life. And our lives at times can look a mess. We can miss it a mile off. And yet look how He brings us back. And He loves us. That is why our faith are stepping stones to greater things. Have you been through a trial? Yes, you have. But that's a stepping stone to a greater thing, brothers and sisters. We have to move beyond self. We have to move beyond our circumstances, our emotions, our feelings, because they all change like the wind. We're moving beyond all of that at long last. We're in the times of restoration. God's restoring us back. He's restoring us back under His headship. No longer under the bondage and slavery of man. Exactly what the powers of darkness are doing. Bringing the world under slavery and using technology to do it. And AI. You've been delivered from that. Hallelujah. Because we're in the times of restoration, bringing us all back under His divine headship. And that's why He does nothing outside the body of Christ. Everything He's going to do with you and me is because of His body that He baptizes you into. As I've said so many times, the doorway into the deeper life is in the body of Christ. The doorway into the kingdom of heaven is in the body of Christ. He doesn't do anything outside the body. In his body. And that's how he does it. And that's why he's brought you in to his body, the church. That foundation that you stand on, which is Jesus Christ. You do not stand on any other foundation, but him and him alone, who paid the price, the ultimate price of his life, the blood of the Lamb. And that's why we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We don't even consider our lives even unto death if need be. Doesn't matter. Because he's placed eternity within us. But our walk of faith will be tested, brothers and sisters. Mark my words. And do not fear those tests. Do not think it strange, but count it all joy, because this trial that I'm going through is revealing to me that my faith is genuine, that I have been chosen before the foundation of the world, that God first loved me. It wasn't even in me. These are the profound truths in the gospel that change our lives, that begin to make us Christ-like. And this is why, as I close, this is why you find you don't fit in anywhere now in this life. Because I don't. I don't fit in anywhere. Oh, it's a blessing, don't get me wrong. But I can't put my heart, my affections in these things like the world does. Because I know where it lies. In the Lord and the Lord himself. So what a blessing it is, isn't it? To walk by faith and not by sight. To walk by the power of God. The very power that raised Christ from the dead. The very power that works in your life and my life right now. Right this moment. Right this second. Preserving, keeping me, delivering me. Raising me up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How can we ever doubt? There we are. If we walk in the realm of faith, it will be tested.
Jesus, I'll find security.